Shall we rise? As much as possible, let us kneel in prayer. O God, our eternal Father, as we gather ourselves together here in this humble chapel, our hearts go out to Thee and we thank Thee, Lord, for the many blessings that we have received. We thank Thee for our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that He has made for us. We thank Thee for Thy great love, Father, and for the many blessings that You have granted unto us. For this evening that we are permitted to be here, we thank Thee once again for this sweet fellowship that we have, and we pray that each one will be a participant in that fellowship and in fellowship with Your Holy Spirit. Lead and direct and feed us this night, Father, we do pray. Be with our brother as he speaks to us. Grant unto him a great portion of Thy Holy Spirit. Give him liberty of thought. Place upon his heart the message that You would have us to hear. Give him liberty of Scripture and understanding and application of that Scripture to our lives. And help us each, Father, to hear and to receive and to apply the words of counsel and direction that are given unto us, that are contained in the words of life. Father, we do pray for our brothers and sisters who stand in need at this time. Be with those who are and shall be traveling upon the roads and highways. Be with our brethren in Mexico as they endeavor to serve Thee. Be with Thy people there, Lord. Protect and deliver them from the great storm that perhaps is above their land even now. We pray for the sick and for the afflicted. We pray, Father, that You will bless Your people everywhere. We do ask that You will be with our loved ones, not with us this evening, for whatever reason. Bless them and touch them with Your Holy Spirit, that wherever they might be, we might be united and one in Thee at this time. So we commit ourselves into Thy care and keeping, seeking Thy blessing to be with us during this hour of waiting. We ask it and give thanks to Thee in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Continue with the use of number 200. Shall we rise again? We ask for our brother Ken Orr this evening, your careful and prayerful attention as he brings to us the word. Keep him in your prayers. Give attention to the words that he brings to us. Ken?
Thank you, Brother Don. I would appreciate your prayers this evening. Spent the last 3 days off and on trying to be sick, and I think I'm going to succeed tonight. So I would appreciate your prayers physically, but more important, spiritually. Two or three weeks ago, I felt that the Lord placed upon my heart a few thoughts that He would like presented this evening. And those thoughts are somewhat different than perhaps I would normally have in preparing for a sermon. So spiritually, I'd ask that you would keep me in your prayers that I can deliver the message I feel that the Lord has given me in a manner that would be pleasing unto Him. I'm not going to dwell on the evils of the world tonight. All we have to do is watch the news or, pick up a newspaper, and we can see and read about all the evils in this world. Especially upon this land that the Lord has given to His people for their inheritance, a land that has been given to the Gentiles to share in that inheritance, a choice land, a land that the Lord has set apart and blessed. Since we've been given so much, I feel that the Lord has expected much of this land. And perhaps because of the iniquity that's coming upon us, I feel His wrath perhaps may be poured out greatly, more greatly upon this land than perhaps others. He placed His church upon this land. Much has been expected and required of us. Isaiah chapter 59. And like I said, I'm not going to dwell on the evils of these latter days. I'm going to read the first four verses of the 59th chapter of Isaiah. Pretty much. You can read the whole chapter. The whole chapter deals with this, but I'm only going to read the first four verses. and pretty much describes the day and time we live in. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has murmured perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. To me, that describes the day and time that we live in, upon this nation and upon the nations of the world. I'd like to turn to the 24th chapter of Matthew. There's one verse there that I would like to read. Excuse me. It's the 11th verse. Oh, no, it's not. I'm like Don this morning. He lost his verse, I lost mine. It's 12th verse. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold. You know, several years ago, there was things in this world that I felt were coming upon the world, and things that were already present that I thought I'd never see within the confines of the Church of Christ. But Paul, in his writing, says there's no temptation that befalls us that is not common to mankind. So perhaps he was telling us that we're going to suffer the same things as the world does. Many of those things that have crept into the world over the past several years are creeping in to the Church of Christ. It saddens my heart. And I'm not going to dwell on that either tonight, but just a thought that within the Church of Christ, there's things that have begun to creep in that are of the world that have no place. They really have no place within the gospel of Christ, within the confines of the Church of Christ in these latter days. Now, I think partly the reason is that it's part of the day and time we live in. You know, I heard on the radio the other day, it was a conservative talk show, and the host made the statement that liberals don't like religious people. And the reason they don't like religious people is because we have a definite line between right and wrong. And he said that liberals don't like that concept. And perhaps more so within the Church of Christ, we need to have that definite line between right and wrong. But because of the world and because of the things that are creeping into the world, perhaps we fall into that snare of allowing things to enter in that aren't right. And I guess tonight, maybe my voice will be a voice of warning, a voice of concern. I'm going to speak tonight about something that would perhaps concern all of us. It should concern all of us. I know there's many within this room and throughout the Church of Christ that are concerned. Are concerned about what I think could become a grave issue. I don't think it is yet. But it's not a problem with no solution. Christ had a great concern in these latter days and foresaw our day. He knew that there'd be great distress. And the text that I read, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax or grow cold. I guess what I'm trying to say is that because of the things in the world and because of the things that are surrounding us, they surround us on every side. We're bombarded with things. And part of it, I think, is the media telling us what we have to be and what we have to be successful. But I think the Lord was warning us. And that scripture I read was one of the scriptures I thought I'd never have to think about in the Church of Christ, our love waxing cold. But I think the Lord was warning us that perhaps our love would wax cold. The world pulls us from every direction so much that it causes us sometimes not to have the love of God within our hearts that He requires of us. There's things in the world that distract us, that pull us away, that enter into our consciousness and our thinking, that takes us away from God and from the gospel of Christ. You know, we haven't lost our love. That's one thing I want to emphasize tonight. I don't think that we've lost our love. But there are dangers. Perhaps there are signs, and perhaps there are things that are creeping in that could cause us to lose our love one for another. You know, that's what brought me. One of the things that brought me into the Church of Christ, and I've heard other people mention that one of the things that brought them into the Church of Christ was the great love that they felt. As soon as they entered a room, they felt a great love. And I guess I really want us to keep that love and to always have that great love that people can feel, that people can see. As soon as they cast their eyes upon us, they can feel that love radiating from us. They can see it in our countenance. They can see it in our faces. They can see it in our mannerism. Something that's different. Something that's different that they'll never feel or see anywhere else. But there are certain things that could cause us to to have a lack of that love. Perhaps we're afraid. Do we have a fear of showing our love? Of being rejected? Perhaps that's something that's common to us all, that we're afraid sometimes to reach out, sometimes to show our love, because we're afraid that love will be rejected. Perhaps we feel that the other person doesn't care, so we don't reach out. We're afraid. Sometimes we have a tendency to perhaps write somebody off. You know, we'll say in our mind, well, they got exactly what they asked for. You know, they made some foolish financial decisions perhaps, or they made some decisions in their spiritual decisions in their lives that caused them, you know, cause and effect. And because of those decisions, things went wrong. So they withdrew themselves from the gospel of Christ, and we kind of say, well, they made their decision. I'm going to let them leave or leave them alone. Sometimes we fail to reach out. One thing that could cause us to have a lack of love and this is, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and I think I heard a comedian on the TV one time, you know, talking about being poor. He says, we didn't know we were poor. You know, we didn't know it. There was no emphasis in life, in the media, on TV, on the radio, that made one feel different from somebody else. You know, that the scripture and Christ gave the parable of the sower, you know, and he talked about the cares and the concerns of this life choking out God, choking out that word of God. You know, and I used to look at that scripture as, well, if we're rich, the things that money can do and take away our thoughts and our desires from the gospel was what choked out the Word of God. But as I read that and I studied that, and I came to realize that the lack of money can have the same effect. You know, whatever station we are in life, it doesn't matter whether we're poor or middle class or rich, the cares of this world can choke out the Word of God, can choke out our love. You know, if we're having a hard time making ends meet, that can take as much and consume as much of our time as anything else. And again, the media, you know, you have to have certain things or you can't be happy. So we look at ourselves sometimes, well, I don't have what they're advertising. So there must be something wrong. I can't be happy. So perhaps we dwell on it sometimes, and perhaps it starts to work on us, and maybe we become discouraged or become angry. Causes us to withdraw and perhaps not reach out. And what love is actually reaching out to someone. You know, that's what love is. You have to give it. You know, you can have all the love in the world within your heart, but if you don't give it, if you don't show it, if you don't reach out, it's one of those things that is absolutely no good to you. Someone once mentioned that they let their anger affect their feelings for someone. You know, sometimes somebody will say something to us or do something and we get angry. And sometimes we carry that within our hearts. You know, we're not perfect. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we wish we could change. Said something we wish that we could pull back as soon as we said it. But sometimes we can't change the past. No matter how much we want to, we can't change the past. No matter how much we wish we hadn't done something, we can't change it. And sometimes, you know, people are kind of funny. Sometimes we tend to remember the bad and forget the good. Somebody did something stupid. We remember that. That's something that sticks out perhaps. Perhaps when we think of that person, that's what we think of. The dumb things they did. But we need to forget. We need to forget the dumb things that people do and think about the good things that people have done. Don't let our anger interfere with our love. Perhaps something's happened in our own lives that have dulled our emotions. An act or event. Perhaps something that we cannot forgive ourselves for. Or that makes us feel unworthy. You know, sometimes we can feel so bad about ourselves that we're afraid to reach out with love. We feel so bad that we think other people feel the same way about us. So we withdraw. Perhaps there's a tragedy within our lives that perhaps dulled our emotions somewhat. Do you know we have a God in heaven that can help us overcome all these things? A tragedy, we can go to God and we never erase it. It's always there. No matter what happens in our lives, you always remember. But He can help us to deal with it. He can lift us up. Life does take its toll. It takes our time. It takes our energy. You know, this gospel, always, ever since the first time that we heard it and accepted it, This gospel always should have been first in our lives. It should take precedence over everything. And I think it's getting harder and harder and harder for this gospel to become and stay the most important thing in our lives. There's so many things. The changing morals in society, you know, no right or wrong. So it puts an awful pressure, especially on the young, an awful pressure to do what is right. You know, years ago when there was that, there was a pretty obvious line between good and bad, and it helped the young people and helped everybody make decisions, because the society, whole society was thinking and making the same kind of decisions, basically. But today, that's gone. That is gone, and it's so hard. I think it's a little easier for my generation because we grew up with that sense of right and wrong, but the young people today they don't have that in society. They're not taught it. I was taught it in school. I was taught it at home. I was taught it in church. Wherever I went, I was taught basic concepts of good and evil, of right and wrong. But I'm pretty sure that the only place that our children today will be taught those values is in our home and in our church. Once they walk outside the door of our home or outside the walls of this church, they're not going to be taught that. They're going to be taught exactly the opposite. And a lot of the things that they're taught perhaps seem unimportant, but when you put them all together, they are ruining the value system that our children have. Sometimes we become unaware, and perhaps more so, again, the younger generation, perhaps they become unaware of what's going on around them. You know, things are going pretty well. Excuse me. People talk about loving each other and accepting each other and trying to do good for each other and accepting what they are and who they are and what they stand for. It all seems well and good on the surface. I'm not somebody that has a lot of dreams or visions or things like that, but I've had a couple dreams and visions in my life, and I've related both of them before, but I'm going to relate them again because I think it has something to do with the topic. And one of them is, this was several years ago, probably the first, shortly after we moved to Phoenix. And it was quite a long dream, but the part that I felt related to the church here in Phoenix was that I was walking down Union Hills and then up 29th Place to church. And it was the end of the world. I knew it was the end of the world. And I could see it all around. Smoke and destruction and fire and flame. And it was, the whole world was being destroyed. And great gaping holes in all over. And I don't remember seeing any houses. I don't remember seeing any other buildings except the Church of Christ here. But I do remember these great gaping holes in the earth. They were quite deep and quite big. And in each one of these, there was people that I knew and I loved. But they were oblivious. Had no idea what was going on. And you know, the funny thing that sticks out in my mind is that nobody was doing anything wrong. Not one person was doing anything that would be specifically wrong. But each was caught up in the daily activities of life, the cares of life, that they didn't realize what was going on. And I think sometimes that we allow the daily things in our lives to crowd in. You know, we get up, we go to work, we go to school, we go shopping, we spend time with our families, we spend a lot of time just living. And it seems, I don't know about anybody else, but there seems to be a lot more stress in our lives. And there seems to be a lot more going on. I don't have time. I honestly don't have time to do everything that I want to. And some days it seems like I got so many things to do that I don't want to do any of them because there's just so much. And that's stress. That's stress. But it just seems that there's so much to do that we could spend our whole existence just doing normal everyday things. And sometimes we get so busy, so stressful, that we don't have time. We don't have time to do the things that we should be doing, and that's reaching out to our brothers and sisters. Reaching out to those perhaps that we know, taking the time to stop and say a kind word. Taking the time to get to know each other a little better. You know, I think we need to do more of that, spend more time getting to know each other. Our likes, our dislikes, what makes us happy, what makes us sad. But I can't put my finger on it. It's not something I put my finger on, but I think that a lot of these everyday activities and stresses and the busyness make it a little harder to love each other. Maybe it's just because we feel that we don't have the time. I don't know what it is, but we're thinking, our minds are so busy, and we're thinking of so many other things and have so much on our mind that perhaps we don't allow ourselves, perhaps. I think part of it is that we shove the Lord just a little bit to the side from time to time. And when we do that, it takes something from us. It takes a little bit of something from us. I think sometimes Christ shows us our weaknesses. He shows us weaknesses. You know, sometimes we, and I think we can all relate to this. One time in my life, I had something that was really bothering me. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and it took a long time. And finally, I think the Lord blessed me and gave me strength and helped me to overcome this weakness. And to be honest with you, I kind of felt kind of good about it. Because I really felt it was not part of my life. But you know, it wasn't too long after that that the Lord showed me something else. Something else that, you know, He said, Ken, you know, this is just a little out of order in your life. You need to do something about it. And I think that's the way the Lord works sometimes. He shows you weakness and He helps you overcome it perhaps. Then He shows you another one. And I think it was Paul that maybe put it in perspective. He said, you know, he had this certain weakness in his life in case he was, in his words, exalted beyond measure. In case he lifted himself up. Because he was a man of God and he had great spiritual strength. And perhaps it would have been easy for him to be puffed up. But the Lord gave him a weakness and showed him that weakness. And I think He does that with us. He shows us our weaknesses from time to time, that we need to rely more on Him. That we allow Christ to rule in our hearts and in our minds. And we each have mountains in our lives that need to be scaled, or sometimes they need to be cast completely out of the way. I know what they are in my life. At least the ones that I'm aware of and that the Lord has showed me. I'm sure there's others that perhaps I'm not aware of. But we each have different mountains. We each have different obstacles in our lives that we need to scale. If we're going to allow Christ to rule in our hearts, and if we're going to have that pure love within us for each other. Several years ago, the Phoenix priesthood met here in the chapel. And we were fasting and praying over the needs of the local and the people here. And during one of the, one of our prayer sessions, I had a vision. First time I'd ever had one, that took me by surprise, of course. But that vision was of a wall. Huge wall. I couldn't see either end of it. And I could barely see the top. It was so high. But on the other side of this wall, I knew it was someplace that I wanted to be. Someplace I had to be. Because I could see a faint glow at the top of the wall. And I knew on the other side was where I needed to be. And first thought in my mind was, how do I get over this wall? Yeah. My first thought wasn't, well, Lord, how can you help me? Oh, Lord, what do I need to do? But how can I get over this wall? And then all of a sudden I looked, and just a little bit to my right was a doorway, an opening that I hadn't noticed before, with a bright light shining through there. And there was writing over the door, if I remember correctly, and that I didn't understand. And the next day at sacrament service, I related that vision, and I believe it was Hubert, said he was given to know what was written over that door, and it was, I am the way. It was the words of Christ. Christ is the way. Whatever's within our lives, if there's anything that hinders our love and hinders our service, hinders our growth in this gospel, if there's that mountain, that wall, that obstacle within us, Christ is the only way that we can overcome it. We can't do it on our own. But if we allow Christ full sway within our hearts and our minds, and I believe the scriptures tell us that there's no mountain that can't be cast aside. Our last sacrament service, I personally thought was one of the best ones we'd had in quite some time. And I don't know how you measure sacrament services or how you measure a prayer service or a preaching service. You know, they're all different. They're all good. But sometimes, from time to time, I think the Lord gives us a special blessing. And I think that this was one of those special services. And I felt that the Lord was talking to us. He didn't have somebody get up and thus saith the Spirit. But I believe through the testimonies that were here, through the feeling, and I think there was a feeling in that service that he was speaking to us, and I hope that we were all listening. I hope we were all listening, because he did speak. I think in a loving and a kind and gentle manner, he told us. He told us of a lacking that we have within this body of Christ. You know, those testimonies. And I believe what started it was a mother's cry for her sons. A cry that we pray for her sons. And we did. We prayed for her sons. There's someone else that got up and testified concerning our love. and sometimes how we offend without meaning to, and how we should not take offense. Sometimes somebody will say something, we take offense when perhaps they meant nothing. And sometimes we just have to let it roll off us. Someone else testified concerning your young people and how we need to show them love. And how great a need they have to be shown that love. Someone else testified how they've been hurt by the things people had said to and about them. And that perhaps we did not have the love that we once had. You know, I think we still have that love. I think we do. I think we just don't show it sometimes. Perhaps we're a little more critical. Perhaps we're a little more quick to take offense or to give offense than we used to be. I don't know. But I still think we have that love within us. In fact, I know we do. We still have that love. It's not gone. We just need to show it. We just need to show it more. You know, I guess for some time I've kind of felt the lack of love. But I thought it was just me. I thought it was me. I thought, well, perhaps, you know, perhaps I've changed. Perhaps it's my feelings towards other people or how they feel towards me. A whole bunch of things. Until one day somebody else voiced exactly the same thing that I felt. Found out through conversations that a lot of people have been feeling the same thing. That we just don't seem to have the same feeling as we used to have. In fact, someone got up in the sacrament service and gave a testimony concerning that had been a burden upon their heart for a long time. Took the words right out of my mouth. But we seem to be dwindling in our numbers. There's not as many people that come. Lack of commitment. You know, someday we could lose everything that we have. Our homes, our jobs, our security, our livelihoods, everything that we know and understand as a normal life, we could lose. In fact, we're talking this afternoon that this country could very well be heading for bankruptcy. And I think there's other things that are happening that are quickly going to cause the downfall of this nation. That's another subject. But we could lose everything we have. Someday, perhaps soon, we're just going to have each other. It's all we're going to have. This church needs to be our sanctuary, our refuge, our support. We need to make sure. We need to make sure that when we come here, that we've developed that support, that we've developed friendships, that we've developed love. You know, and love is not something that you can get down on your knees and pray for and expect the Lord to hand it to you. I think love is something we work on through our interaction with people, how we react to situations and how we feel. How we live the gospel and how we treat each other. It all fits together and our love will grow. We need to look at others. See their faults and their weaknesses. Like our brother Don said this morning, we need to love and support each other. Because there's not one of us that doesn't have a fault, that doesn't have a weakness. Not one of us. It takes a great effort. Sometimes it takes a great effort on our part to have that love grow. It would seem like it'd be the easiest thing in the world, you know, for that love to just swell within us. But I guess like in any family, and we're a family, you know, we're brothers and we're sisters, we're mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. We're a family. And I haven't known a family yet that sometimes they don't get on each other's nerves. Sometimes a brother would do something that the sister thinks is stupid. I guess that's the word today, stupid. So I guess we kind of have the same feelings from time to time with each other. But we need to learn to live with each other and to grow with each other. As a brother and sister, we'll eventually forget, and life goes on. We must do also. I know we have a love. We have a great love in our hearts for God and for this gospel and for each other. I know it. I know we do. Let's not be afraid to show it. Let's not be afraid to show that love. I've got a couple scriptures I think I will read. excuse me. 1 Thessalonians. They're very short. These are short scriptures. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and 9th verse. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. God's taught us. He showed us. He expects it. There's a scripture in Ephesians, and I'm not going to read it. It says that the husband is to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he could present it, that he could present the church to his Father in heaven without spot or wrinkle. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants to be able to take and give to his Father at the last day, his glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That's what he wants us to work towards. And part of that, being able to present it to his Father without spot or wrinkle, is that we have a great love. First of all, that great love for God. And secondly, a great love for one another. Moroni chapter 7, verse 53. I'm going to leave us with this thought tonight. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that ye may be filled with his love, which he has bestowed upon all who are the true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ken. We'll close now with the use of number 315. Let's remember our special meeting Wednesday evening and all of our regularly scheduled meetings. Shall we rise? Pray. O God, our eternal Father, as we come before Thee at the end of this day, we do thank Thee for the blessings that we've enjoyed, Father. We thank Thee for the fellowship that has been ours to enjoy. We thank Thee for Thy Word, which comes to us out of the past and comes to us as reminders day by day. For the Word we've received this night, help us, Father, each one, to apply it to our individual lives, to our own benefit, and to the benefit of the work of the gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us that only by our great love will men know that we truly are His disciples. It is our desire, Father, that we be known as Your children, that we be received as Your people and as Your church. And so we pray indeed Your Holy Spirit will strive and work with each one of us, guiding and directing us that we might grow in love and in compassion one toward another, that we might live as our Lord Jesus Christ would have us to live, that we might be unified by Your Holy Spirit in all things. Father, help us to have that measure of strength and power from on high, to cast from our lives all those things that would choke out Thy Word, to make those changes necessary in our lives, Father, that we might be pleasing to Thee and worthy of the name of Jesus Christ and His great love for us. Again, we thank Thee for the privilege to be here. We pray for each one of our loved ones that are not with us this evening. Watch over and care for each one, some who are sick and afflicted, some who are traveling upon the roads and the highways of life, some at their work. Bless each one that we might be united in love for Thee and in service to Thee, that we might be of one mind and one heart. Father, do bless Thy people, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.